Employee benefits, paper three, Casual.
So agenda paper three is about the common error analysis of the exposure draft, defined benefit plans, employee contributions. The ISB published this exposure draft in March, and the comment period ended in July. The ISB set up two proposals. One is that contributions from employees or third parties set out in the formal terms of the defined benefit plan may be recognized as a reduction in the service cost in the same period in which they are payable, if and only if they are linked solely to the employee service rendered in that period. And the second proposal is that the negative benefit from those contributions should be attributed to period service in the same way as the gross benefit is attributed in accordance with paragraph 70 of IS 19. 63 comment letters were received, and the vast majority of the respondents agreed with the proposed amendments, but some respondents requested clarification of the wording or requested examples or guidelines to be added. We made analysis of those comments and identified 4 points that should be considered in the final amendment, which is set out in page 35 and 36 of this paper. The one is age-based contribution should be included in the scope. And the second one is we should note contributions are linked to salary as well as service. The third point is contributions in the scope of this amendment should be accounted for regardless of the timing of the payment. And the fourth point is clarification of the wording about the attribution of negative benefits. So based on those analysis, we have prepared a revised wording in page 37. And the question to the committee, first question to the committee is, do you agree that it should propose the ISB that the wording should be revised in this paper?
Comments? Laurence?
I'm supportive of the amendments. There are two things I wished were included in the basis for conclusion as an explanation. That is the conclusion in paragraph 31 about age-based contributions to clarify that they are based, they are in the scope as an illustration of plans that can be in scope. And the second thing I think would have been useful in the basis for conclusion as well is your conclusion about what to do with the difference in accumulated service cost, negative service cost, and contribution. That is what you have in paragraph 81, which says that the difference should be part of the adjustment of the DBO, not part of remeasurement or elsewhere. But that's my only two suggestions.
Tony?
Yeah, I think continue to be supportive of the amendment and the direction that the staff has taken. I think I, having looked through some of the comment letters, I might have characterised them slightly differently, in the sense I think there is overwhelming support for an amendment. I think if you look at the series of requests for clarification, there's probably perhaps not overwhelming support for this amendment, and that quite a lot of people would have preferred one way or another the amendment to be drawn more widely so that more people could get into it. And I guess one of my observations on the paper is that the board during the re-deliberations specifically decided on this. I'm not sure there is anything specific, because I don't think this wasn't included in the original exposure draft for the amendments to IS 19. And I think it was something that came through the re-deliberations without being exposed. So my sense is that commentators would have preferred a broader exception. Having said that, and sort of working with what's here, I'm still supportive of the direction of there being an amendment. I just prefer it to be broader. I just have a couple of thoughts on the revisions to paragraph 93. I think it's helpful to say that the negative benefit is attributed applying the same attribution method, because I think that takes away some of the tension that people saw in the question of, you know, how do I do it? So that's helpful. I do think there are a couple of inconsistencies in 93, particularly the word only, because it says linked only to employee's salary and service rendered in the period. Then the next sentence says, an example would be contributions that are a fixed percentage of salary or contributions whose percentage depends on age. So that's not linked only to salary and service. And so I think there's an inconsistency. I think the word only is actually redundant. Would be inclined to remove it because you've got the and independent of the number of years of service. So I think that confusion could be removed by getting rid of the word only. And then in the first sentence, contributions from employees or third parties either reduce service cost if they're linked to service or reduce remeasurements, for example, if. Well, there are plenty of things that do both. And so I just wonder if you could clarify the words around that so that you don't think it's an item, because there are things that are both linked to service and recover a deficit or whatever. But so generally supportive, would prefer it more broadly, a couple of drafting suggestions.
Andrew?
Thanks. I support the staff proposal as well. I think it is clearer on the attribution of the negative benefit. And the one, reading the paper, the one thing that slightly surprised me is the comments that a fixed annual contribution would not qualify. I don't think I'd have got to that conclusion under the wording in the original ED, which talked about linked to service. Linked to salary and service, I would get to the same conclusion, but that in turn makes me wonder whether links to salary in the current period and links to service in the current period are synonymous, or whether links to salary is a subset of links to service. So maybe there's just a bit of a thinking around that, but overall I support the direction of the staff proposal.
Reinhardt?
I also am generally supportive with the proposed amendments. I found as well some of the additional language in paragraph 93 confusing. In the example that the staff gave where the contributions were linked to salary, that works, but I continue to believe that if you have fixed contributions, that it should be within the scope. So I'm concerned by adding the word salary in paragraph 93, similar to what Andrew said. And then a couple of more detailed points. The flowchart in paragraph 37 I thought was very useful, and I think it would be helpful to have that perhaps in the basis of conclusions.
I'm glad you raised that, because if some of you hadn't, I would have.
I thought it was very good. I had sent to the staff a couple of suggestions in terms of how perhaps to clarify the flowchart, but I think it would be very helpful. And then in paragraphs 59 to 60, it talks about the accounting choice being applied to all eligible plans. I think it would be helpful to incorporate that into the standard to make that clear as well, because that seemed to be missing from the proposed amendments. Those are my main comments.
Tony?
Just a thought. I think flowcharts can be helpful, and something like this can help people understanding the thinking. And one thought we had on the flowchart is typically if it's a decision tree, you've got a yes, no, and sort of related to my comment on the first sentence of 93, when you start out with contributions set out in the formal terms of the plan, linked to service, reduce a deficit, could be yes to both or no to both, and for it to work as a decision tree, you might just need to think about how you set it up, or as a flowchart, how you articulate it, rather than giving the impression it's an either or, because I don't think it necessarily is.
Point taken. I take Tony's point. When I, read the initial parts of the paper and said, "Oh, everybody agrees." No, everybody agrees, but not necessarily with the proposal. But I, do hear general support among the committee for taking this back to the board as is or as modified in the paper. Any objections to that? Okay, none taken. We will proceed.